Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about what are we dealing with, mentally navigating the crisis. And in the words of my favorite CNN journalist, Chris Cuomo, let's get to it.
Oh, not all right. Chris. You're not going to let me say good morning this morning?
And well, hey, if we finna get to it, let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Let's go.
I mean, y'all, he over here talking too much. Good morning, everybody. It's another Sunday. I think it's April 5th. Is it Palm Sunday? Am I early? Because I think it's Palm Sunday.
It's Palm Sunday. The day of Holy Week.
So I don't know. I mean,
I'm proud of the deal today.
I guess churches aren't going to be packed today. I guess church is not going to be packed today, but you're here. And in Georgia, because I'm sure there's some spots in Georgia, some churches in Georgia that are going to be packed. Hopefully not in Daugherty County, if that's how you pronounce it, because that's where, that's how
down there part of Georgia, stay at home. If you're anywhere in Georgia or in the United States, period, if you can afford to be home right now, stay home, okay? Just stay home. And I know this is hard. And this is one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this show. Because me and Kadada, we've been talking about this. And I mean, this has been a regular part of our conversation. Like, since we started doing, people started getting self-quarantined and whatnot. Because, like, I mean, me and Kadada are both empathic people. We kind of can feel what other folks are feeling. We kind of feel it too. So we've been talking about this a lot. And just in a for y'all that don't know, Kadada is like my best friend. Okay? She's a
I'm like your best friend. Hold up. No, hold up. I am the best friend. Thank you very much. All right, now we can keep moving on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
John Jackson will fight you about that. He will fight you about them. I got several best friends. But Kadada is my main bestie that when I need to talk about something seriously and I don't need no BSing or nothing going down about it, this is who I'm going to talk to. So we started originally talking about this because I was having some issues. I came to her one day, and we was talking about this because I was watching numbers. And, us being, politicals, we watch numbers anyway. But I was getting obsessed with these numbers. I mean, I'm watching them tick. And she was like, are you sure that's okay for you to, like, be keeping up with that? And, don't you need to turn off CNN? Don't you need to go do something else? Don't you need to do this? And I'm like, but. And then she, but, think about it, Scout. This is going on. And this is going on. And so we've been talking about it, and then the conversation has expanded that we're watching y'all on social media. And we're having conversations that our other friends, we're having conversations. And we're noticing patterns. So, and everybody's patterns are different, but everybody's off their normal. you know, for me, I actually thought that my life hadn't changed that much because I'm still doing the same things, which I don't do much. I still go to work every day. I go to the grocery store. I go wash clothes, which that was basically part of my life other than political stuff. Anyway, yeah, my life was other than political stuff. And I'm dealing with the same political people. I'm just dealing with them virtually. You know, I'm not hanging out at Avondale Pizza, you know, on Wednesday nights. You know, on the Wednesday nights they have YD. You know, I've not been to a county party meeting since we shut down county party meeting. Now, that kind of thing is bothering me because that was where my social activity took place. Yeah, y'all probably like, damn, Scott, your life, damn. But that's what kept me happy, and now I'm not able to do it, and I'm trying to fill these voids. And I know a lot of y'all are doing the same. Kadada, what's been your experience during this time that kind of been, you know, outside the
world? I don't have, this is going to sound bad, y'all, and I'm not kind of bragging or anything like that, but I am actually enjoying this. And the reason I'm enjoying it is because I guess I go so hard every day that I need a moment to relax. And so it's very rare that I get quiet and peace and solitude the way I have been. And I can honestly say since session was suspended, because you all know that I work under the Gold Dome when session is in, I've also kind of been working a lot more, but I'm not stressed out about having to run from point A to point B to point C all day long and pulling 12 to 15-hour days, because some days are very long. And so the slowdown of movement has become very important to me. Now, I will say this from a personal standpoint, because I think hopefully in this discussion we'll talk about all aspects of it, like person to person, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend type stuff. What is challenging me is the other half that kind of behaving in ways that I'm like, wait a minute, like that's not safe for me, like our interactions. And so I'm watching people like online talk about like their relationships. And I'm going, ugh, a lot of relationships aren't going to survive this. Because people don't realize they don't spend a lot of time with their mates. They don't spend a lot of time with their children. And I know it's a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek when people complain, but some people really, it seems like they have no idea who their children are. They don't know who their mates are. And now is the time that they're finding out all these little secrets about their, you know, all their other family unit members, and they may not really like them.
Right.
There's a part of me too, right? Come on, come through. The other part of me though is that I can be very introverted, and I'm the chick that likes to climb into her bed, grab a book, and put on Law and Order, and I'm very happy. Like last night, I discovered the TV show Veep, and I know that came out in 2012, whenever it came out. I have never seen it because I don't get to watch TV, and I was like, who didn't tell me about this show? But I don't have that level of time to sit down and watch TV. So it's actually good for me, and I purposely choose not to do things because, like Scout said, like I'm empath, right? So I absorb people's energies, and I don't watch CNN anymore. I don't watch the tickers any longer because if truth be told, no one knows what the hell is going on with this virus, including the so-called doctors that say that they are the experts. And we should all claim this and understand this because if you notice from even what I am listening and becoming aware of, it changes daily. And when things change daily, moment by moment, that means people don't know what's going on. So it's not for me, who I'm a social scientist. I'm not a microbiologist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a chemist. It is not for me to sit here and try to figure it out because there's a whole lot of textbook scientists coming up on Facebook right now. That's adding to their stress.
Right.
So
After you told me to stop looking at TikTok, after you stopped telling me, you know, and I'm obsessive about information and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And after you told me to stop watching tickers and watching the number, I started delving into economics because I realized that, you know, because we attempted to do a show last week about the economic side of this thing. And because, okay, this is the reason why everybody's trying to leave everything open. Let me understand this better. So I'm trying to get an understanding because for me to understand, you need to get some theories. I don't have to have the facts. I just need to understand the theories of what everybody's running off of so I can kind of feel like
this is not a theory-driven
Right.
But this is not theory, right? This is not theory.
There are theories that are driving certain things, like for instance. And I'm gonna tell you what this does, because just like you said, things are changing every day. Because we are in a mode where experts are actually running models and experimenting, because this is something new. There are no experts on this shit yet. There are experts on things that look like this. There are experts on things that can be compared to this. But there are theories being thrown out daily, and this causes anxiety, because I'm suffering from it right now. I mean, literally, people, because there are two reasons I'm having anxiety. One was the numbers, and the two that I have to go out there and expose myself every day because I'm an essential worker. I am throwing up every morning because I am scared. There are people out there that need to understand that there are people out there who are scared just like they are.
Yep.
And I'm scared because I was watching the numbers and I know where this is going. So I'm like, okay, statistically, and everybody knows me, I hate math. And this is why, because Ms. Robinson, God bless your soul, told me that math is an exact science. And so I'm looking at how shit's doubling and I don't see the patterns. All of that great stuff she taught me when I was in elementary school that I just absolutely hated is coming into play right now. And I'm going, oh my God. And then, like you say, from a relationship standpoint, you know, at any time we have changes in our relationship that changes the dynamic of the time that we spend, there's going to be stresses in our relationship. I remember back when I was, you know, living with my family, the most major thing that changed in my marriage was the way I worked. And I used to work 12-hour days on a swing shift. That means 1 week I was on night shift, the next week I was on day shift, and I was working 12 hours a day, so when I was at home, I spent most of my time sleeping, and I hung out with my family on my days off. That's what I did. But then I changed from being a production worker to going to the office, and I started working 9 to 5, like everybody else, you know, being home every night, being home every weekend, and spending more time around the house than I had normally did. And my wife had been used to the majority of our relationship, me not being there. Now I'm there, and the way she did things is not necessarily the way I did things or this, that, and the other. And there was ways she ran the household that I didn't know she was doing, and there was things that I did that she didn't know I did, because we did not spend that kind of time together. So now you got people doing this quarantine situation who are spending upwards of 20 hours a day awake with each other. And it's like, I didn't know you did.
People don't like each other.
You know,
I mean, listen.
Look, you
people
didn't even
really
know
don't.
This much about dating.
About what?
People didn't know this much about each other when they were dating. And people really don't realize how much they don't talk to each other about shit.
Yep.
Until you
Let me deposit something that hopefully helps out the world a little bit. Like, right now I'm in the midst of getting a certification in what's called neuro-linguistic programming, right? It's basically the way that you talk to yourself to help you bring about change in your life, right? So it's the brain, word kind of connection and function. And so yesterday, as I was doing some study, one of the things that came to me at this time, because I have to be very mindful, and I try to practice a high level of mindfulness with people, because right now, if you notice on Facebook, there's a meme that's going around that's saying, you know, like, if you are sitting at home all this time, you need to be doing X, Y, and Z. Like, you need to learn a new skill. You need to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I initially, when that meme dropped, right, it was supposed to give people hope. Right? Like, okay, like you're in this, be productive with your time. But now that we're 3 or 4 weeks in, all of a sudden people had it, the tone has changed where people are just like, oh my gosh, stop telling people that they need to be productive, that they need to learn a new skill. People are just surviving, right? So even the communication lines of people are now starting to swing because people are starting to be frustrated. And I say all this to say, wait, hold on. I say all this to say, right, that we should and we really should remember that everybody, their intention is positive, right, more than mm-hmm. negative. And let me say that again, right. That everyone's intention is positive more than negative. And before people start going, well, what about people who are just negative people? 99% of the world aren't negative people. We're talking about those type of people, right? You don't. Most of us don't have people in our crew that's just negative, that are just harmful type of people. And so, to your point, sitting at home with your mate for 20 hours a day, you know, they might do something that's unnerving to you, but they were probably doing it with some positive intentions that we probably missed. Right. And so
right.
There has to be one of the coping mechanisms for this is, you know, we want to say grace or, you know, like today I opened up my favorite In Touch magazine by, you know, Charles Stanley, because I love me some Charles Stanley, you know, and I was just like, oh, you know, not that we talk about faith too much on this show, but for today, this Good Palm Sunday, you know, and this is published well beforehand. But it's so timely because I use the word grace, but he uses the word the blessings of the gentleness. And I was like, yeah, we need to be extremely gentle with each other at this time. Extremely
right.
gentle, because people are starting to swing because now people are just like, okay, wait a minute. Like, oh, I had a lot of hope and we're going to get through this and it's going to be done soon too. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Now it's day 35 or it's day, you know, everyone's day is a little different, you know, because some people have only been in this for 14 days. Some people have only been in it for 10, you know. And so now people are starting to cycle a little bit. And so we are going to see an increase of fighting between mates. We are going to see people who might be a little tearful or giving up hope. And so I think, or I know, that people really truly have positive intentions when they are trying to help other people with the things that they're saying and they're trying to bring forward. Even people that, you know, are sitting here showing off the ticker of death, as I call it, every damn day or every couple of hours, they have a positive intention, which is they probably just want to provide information. And for the rest of us, we have to remember, like, oh, it's a lesser blow in my spirit when I realize that they're trying to do something positive. May not be for me, but it might be positive for somebody else.
Right. Now,
some thoughts.
You know, one of the things, you know, that you got to think about mentally. And, you know, this is something that I picked up on when I was in the military, is that, you know, for those of us who are veterans, who are active duty, who've been inside of, you know, spaces in which people have contingency plans and action plans to get something done. Well, you know, when the military invades the country or we start a military operation of some sort, there's a plan that you want to do this by day one. By day two, you need to be here. By day 15, you need to be done this. And by day 30, we're here. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the contingency plan, there's a, that we call, you know, you have these goals and you got different phase lines you got to care that you got to cross, this, that, and the other. And one of the things you learn very quickly is that the moment you touch the beach or you land on the runway or you hit the street, the plan is going to change.
Yep.
Okay? Because the plan is not just you operating asymmetrically out there. You're not the only variable. There are other variables involved. And one of the things I think that people do is they, you know, and it's one of those positive things that people are trying to do that has a positive intent, but we take it negatively because we want this thing just to be over with.
True.
We just want to get it done, not realizing that this virus is going to do what it's going to do. And if we don't take certain measures or we try to hold back or we do this, that, and the other, that there's going to be effects to it. And one of the things you just said was that, you know, in the beginning, everybody's like, be productive. Because it's like, okay, I can pick up and learn and take a, you know, 14 days, I can learn something new. Okay, now I'm dealing with 30 days, and it's like, we're just surviving. But this is one of the things I'm going to say, and it's going to sound kind of, I'm one of those individuals that I want you to see the tough side of it so you get your mind prepared. People say, mm-hmm. Oh, we're just surviving. We hadn't gotten to survival mode yet, people. You
right.
can still go outside
it's true.
House, walk down the damn belt line. You don't need to be, but you can't. You can still go to the
hell, you can go to you can go to the beach in Georgia.
Thank you. You can still if you wanted to get on a plane and go somewhere. It might not be a good idea, but you can still go.
Yep.
Get a good price to do it. You can still go to the grocery store, and if you're creative and you're not, you know, so hard set on getting something, you can still get groceries. The thing is that the reason we have essential workers, as many essential workers that we have, is because we are scared to deal with the harsh reality of giving up our lives. We want to go through tough times and not sacrifice. And I want y'all to understand that. This is why we're going through what we're doing. This is why you hear all of our political leaders on both sides talking about, well, we can't let the economy take a hit. We can't take a hit. They really, and this is a positive thing, even when it comes from Donald J. Trump's mouth, nobody wants to freaking suffer. Nobody. Nobody wants any suffering. Even when he's talking about we need to get the economy going back, as stupid as it sounds coming out of his mouth, his real intent, and I hate to say this to you, this is coming out of my mouth, but his real intent is to try to get things back to normal as quick as possible. Even it is very short-sighted because
mm-hmm.
we realize, both of our leaders realize, that we are no longer the mental constitution to deal with really stressful shit. We as Americans have not had to go through the things that people in other countries go through. There are people who live in Europe who are still alive today remember their cities being flattened by World War II. Because to be honest with you, Germany just finished reconstruction from World War II in 1996. Okay? Japan finished it in like 1980-something. You're talking about 30, 40 years that the last thing that needed to be reconstructed or finished was done 30 or 40 years after the initial damage that took 2 or 3 years to do.
But here's the thing. If you studied history, especially
well,
World War II, I mean...
But let me finish for a second. Americans
mm-hmm.
have not had to have to deal with the fact of their city being leveled since
yeah.
the Civil War.
Yeah.
So there's nobody around that can tell us, you know, there are no Southern people around because it was mostly Southern cities that were leveled. They can tell you how it felt that that is not to be in Atlanta. Or that not to be a Savannah, or that not to be a Macon. You know,
right.
9/11 is the closest we've gotten to there being serious destruction on our soil. We deal with hurricanes and stuff. We still don't even deal with those natural disasters in the same fashion that other countries do. Like, we don't have earthquakes and tsunamis hitting us like they do in Indonesia and Japan, where, you know, 250,000 people could die at one time. This here is the worst stuff we've dealt with in well over a century here in the country. You know, the Spanish flu was the last time, and the Great Depression was the last time that Americans really had to deal with some serious suffering. And so we basically got the Spanish flu of 1918 and the Great Depression kind of mixed up in one, and impossibility with this crisis. And we have to get
ourselves. But where do we deposit ourselves? But where do we deposit ourselves? Because at some point in time, we either have to come together collectively and see ourselves as one people in one nation to move forward. Because if we have people whose free will is most important to them than the safety of others, and an example of this is, you know, some people are going to the grocery store not to go grocery shop, but just so that way they have some place to walk around, right? And that's not taking
right.
your fellow man into consideration, because at what point in time do Americans say, okay, you know what, this is not about me. Like, I need to protect somebody else. Like, yes, we're all in this together. We may or may not be all mm-hmm. suffering the same way, if the word is suffer, because I do not believe that we're truly suffering, because we do not have a bomb dropping on our homes and we're not yelling and screaming and being told that we need to run into some type of bomb shelter. You know, at what point in time do we start being of collective mind? Because that's part of the issue too. Because, you know, we have
right.
a lot of political friends, and it's like you have some that are just like, okay, we know we're supposed to be hunkered down. We're only doing what we need to do, not want to do. And then you have a whole faction of people who are like, I don't give a damn what's happening. I'm going to do what I want. What do you
right.
do with the people
right.
that I'm going to do what I want? Because mentally, for the rest of us, that's just as exhausting. Like I said, the governor
right.
decided to open up the beaches. How can you open up the beaches and you just told us we need to hunker down until April 13th?
Now, this is the thing, you know, me and you had a conversation, I think, about this just the other night. And we was talking about, you know, people having the ability to sit at home and people having the ability to look out for each other. And, you know, and you remember, I don't know if you remember me asking the question, and it was particularly about the folks sitting at home. How
mm-hmm.
many of you are paying between $1,600, $1,700 a month up to, you know, $2,300 a month in rent and mortgage for your homes and this, that, and the other? And some of y'all bought some big ass houses that y'all are so like, and you spent most of your time working to pay for this house that you never spent time in. And now you're having to spend time in the house, and you're not comfortable in your own surroundings. You're not comfortable because my place is not big at all. I live in a little studio apartment, and my place is not big at all. But I'm comfortable, and I'm okay with being here. Now, I got friends who have little McMansions, and they talk about cabin fever. I'm like, go to the other end of the house. I can see from my table, I can see my bed, and I can peep around the corner and see my bathroom. I mean, I can see
right.
all of my living space in just a sweep of my eye. You know what I'm saying? And if anybody's going to have cabin fever, but I'm good because, what? I mean, this is my space. This is where I feel safe.
Right.
I know that I'm here and that as long as my door's closed and my doorknob is clean, and I have everything that I need on the inside, that the coronavirus is not coming in. At least that's how I feel. It's not coming in here to get me. Okay? But you are so uncomfortable with being home and sitting around and being, quote-unquote, bored that you're willing to go out and deal with this invisible enemy. You know, this is a lot of people, it's a really good time for you to ask those hard questions yourself. Why is it that I have such a hard time sitting at home? What am I running from? Why do I always need to be
why am I bored? How can you be bored with yourself?
You know,
because that's what it really is a bored with yourself.
Right. I mean, I enjoy spending time with myself. I can watch, you know, for me, I'm a tech person. So, I mean, I got television, I got my laptop, I got my phone. Hell, I can look at 3 or 4 different things. And so, I can look at all the information in the world. Stuff I wish I was quarantined because, oh, my God, all of the stuff I could read and take in and all the knowledge I could get, I would be nerdy. I could play video games with you. As long as the internet stayed up, I would be good. And then if it didn't, I would just start pulling out my book, and I would escape into that's what books and stories were for in the beginning, was somewhere you do escape to.
Escape.
I was telling my friend last night, I was like, I need to go play a video game. And it was like, why? Because most of the video games I play are sandbox games, so I can go explore. I'm like, I can go somewhere virtually. I'm okay with that as long as my mind has somewhere to go. And see, that's the thing. We need our bodies to physically go somewhere. We've not developed our minds to the point that we can take our minds somewhere.
Okay, I have to introduce a topic. I have to introduce a topic talking about your mind going somewhere. Now, I just have to ask this question. Why is it during this time that all these men and some women are hitting up people in their inbox? Like, why are ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends reaching out at the moment? They bored too. Like, this is not love in time of corona. Why y'all starting to reach out to folks? What y'all trying to rekindle?
You
gotta talk about that too. Because some people sitting at home thinking, this is not, if this is your reflection moment, I kind of feel like keep my name out your head. Like, it's just me. why are you trying to be all in my space?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a couple of people that I've spoken to and a couple of people that have spoken to me. And my reason is that most of the people that I've spoken to, I speak at intervals anyway just to check on them. And I know, but I've had people who have contacted me that I've not talked to in a long time. That the last time we spoke, it was not really a good conversation. And you the first, and when you first contacted me, it wasn't like, you know, I want to apologize for the way I acted the last time we spoke. It was like, hey, what's going on? Like, why in the hell are you calling?
Right.
Why are you calling me? Why are you in my inbox? I don't like you like that, remember? Remember what you did? You did X, Y, and Z to me. You told me I could do this, that, and the other. And then the apology comes because you realize that I might not want to speak to you. And you thought I had forgot about what you did.
Yep.
Then it's like, okay, so all right, since you want to talk, let's talk about what made you go through that. And let's talk about why you not contacting me. Let me get a mental understanding that you're sitting around thinking about that you might die. And that you need to get right with the world now?
A lot of men trying to get right in the world. Come on now.
Because a lot of people are realizing that they have done things to people for reasons that really that were really minute at best. When you start looking at your morality, you know, your mortality. And you start going, you know what, that really wasn't that important. Because now I'm faced with being sick or dying, thing that was so important to me a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. I can't even do if the world was the world in the way and direction that the world is going now. It wouldn't even be important. And you realize there were some people in your lives that were genuinely there for you. And for no other reason. And now you want to come back and interrupt their life. They okay? They ain't even say what they think about you. ain't one talking about you. But I think in some cases, some of these conversations could be healthy because they may provide closure.
They
because
might,
I don't
but most of us have already had closure.
Right, but in some cases, yeah, they were closed, they were locked down, you need to keep it pushing. I mean, you weren't worried about me a month and a half ago, why are you worried about me now?
Exactly.
I mean,
that may not be right, but I mean, there's a whole, I mean, this time is presenting so many different things in people's lives. You got exes popping up. You might be, I mean, there's, you might have a, you know, not only we're talking about socially distancing ourselves from the people around us, but there's people who literally live in different spaces, right, that are just craving physical touch. And I think I will say this. I am, because of the person I am, and I really love when people can speak their truth and be very honest about who they are, especially men, because men really have a hard time speaking their emotions. I am appreciating the level and the amount of brothers out here who are confessing on Facebook, like, I need to be physically contacted or have contact with someone physically to feel good. And I see the reflection moment because people are like, wait a minute. And I'll shout out to my black men once again, that they're just like, you don't ever hear that, right? And now black men are like, but wait, I want to be held. Like, I want to hug somebody. I can't hug anybody. So this demeanor of being hard right now is starting to fall away.
Because the thing is, you having to, one, you having to put that hard up on the shelf right now because you might need it later.
Mm.
You don't want to use all that energy up just being tough when the shit ain't really hit the fan yet. So right now you'd be like, look, I need to enjoy my life. I need to have peace because I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming. I need to smell the roses while there are still roses to smell.
But
and
why
I
can't
think
we
men,
be like that every day?
Because we have, like, again, and this is something that I truly believe that is conducive to Americans, that is not conducive to other nationalities, okay? And, yes, I'm talking about all of us, whether you're black, white, Asian, Native American. I'm talking about the American nationality, those of us who are Americans, who've grown up in this culture, who for all intents and purposes, you done drank this here Kool-Aid, okay?
Sure.
We are different than everybody else on the planet because me and you talked about this earlier. You got this idea of rugged individualism. You
right.
got this idea of American exceptionalism. I don't give a damn what color you are in this goddamn country. You are an American at the end of the day, and you know in the back of your head that at least you feel like you know in the back of your head because it's a part of American exceptionalism that you are better than
yep.
everybody else on the planet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the coronavirus even thought that it could come show its face in the greatest country on the face of the planet Earth to ever existed is appalling. But what we have is we have all of these things that we operate within on a daily basis. And these ideas are being challenged.
Right.
Just because of a virus. You know, armies have not been able to challenge our feelings like this unseen enemy. Because, again, everything else we could fight because we understood. We don't understand it. This is something that does not normally, that has not touched us, most of us, in our lifetime. There are very few people who are around who can remember and give us a detailed story about the Spanish flu of 1918. Very few of those people are still around. And that can give us details, whose minds are sharp enough to give us details. And this is also something that, you know, we talk about, we sitting in our spaces. Now, some of us live with our grandparents and our parents, and some of us don't. And if we have means to talk to our elders, this is a really good time to sit down and listen to them.
Yeah.
Now, some of you millennials are probably like, huh? talk to these boomers. Yeah, you need to talk to them because they can. If you sit down and listen and don't debate them about what the hell they did and why the hell they did it, just sit there and listen, they will tell you everything you need to know. Because one of the things that I was grateful of that I don't think our children get, that our generation got, is that we got a chance to sit around and talk to old people. If the old people liked you enough, they would sit there and tell you stories.
They would tell you stories.
Because, you know, they don't talk to everybody. Particularly if you're black, old people don't talk to everybody. They think you don't get, you can't get it. They ain't telling it to you. It is a waste of their time. They gonna tell somebody. And there's so many things that I'm grateful for that my grandparents and even great grandparents had a chance to speak into my life. And I want my, and I'm gonna put this out there particularly, and I'm gonna say this on air, and then I'm gonna tell my children this personally. My children are very, very lucky because not only do they have grandparents, they have great grandparents and great great grandparents who are still here. They can go back three generations. Christian, Elliot, Michaela, Fabian, you need to go talk to your elders. They got plenty of stuff there to give y'all. You know, and I'm lucky that I was able to sit back and have conversations with Marie Taylor, can still have conversations with Robert Taylor. I was, you know, with Grady Lee and Andrew Hansen, and to sit there and be able to sit at the foot of Ulysses Smith.
Because I wish I had the privilege. Oh, my grandparents
passed away. Because
there was so many
things, and this is something that you can get, because this actually has an ability to help you get through things when you listen to your grandparents or your parents or your great-grandparents tell you about the things that were trying during their time. You know, to listen to my grandparents talk about growing up during the Depression, which they talked to me about growing up during civil rights, and listen to my mother talk to me about growing up during civil rights, and to listen to my great-grandparents tell me about, you know, living through all of that and then seeing us have the ability to get civil rights. I definitely, when people wonder why I don't get excited about certain things, because my ancestors dealt with a hell of a lot worse. And if they could deal with it and not complain all damn day about it, I can too. Because sometimes I do believe we spend way too much energy complaining. Now, not saying that something that is bad going on around you should not be addressed. It should be addressed. But addressing it through words alone, it's just that, words alone. It's just like, I'm going to use a Christian phrase for y'all, faith without works is dead.
But, I mean, it is healthy to do a little cleaning, let's be honest. It is. I was complaining about the fact that I couldn't dress up anymore, right, because that's a part of my routine. And it's definitely a first world kind of problem. You know, I complained about the fact that I don't appreciate, I buy a bag of spinach, it gives me a teaspoon worth of spinach, right? But there's a lot of stuff in jest, and that we just need to vent, to get off our, you know, get off our chest, but we can't stay stuck there. And I'm concerned about the people that are stuck. I mean, me being a life coach, I can see what's coming, and it's already starting to happen with people. I can see people starting to spiral emotionally and mentally through this process. I mean, because people don't feel connected. There's an article about a gentleman, I think he was in England, or I know it's one of the European countries. He killed himself because he felt so isolated. And we have to remember that even if we have connection to other people, that does not actually feel that you're connected. You might be able to stand next to somebody, but that does not mean you have a relationship with those people. And you can still feel isolated. You know how many times when I was married that I felt alone in my marriage? That's why it's important to not only build a relationship with others, but build a relationship with yourself. So in times like this where you have to sit quietly, where you have to turn the TV on or
you have to turn Zoom on, everyone's favorite best friend at the moment. I swear we all have a friend in Zoom. You know that you have a strong foundation, and people's foundations are cracking. And we're
right.
going to have a huge
now,
mental health issue at the end of this situation.
We got 15 minutes before our next segment comes on, and Stacey Hodgson come talk to us about absentee voting. So we're going to continue to continue this conversation, but I want to open up the line for the next 15 minutes to call us. If you got something to say, or you know, or got an opinion about what we've been talking about, or want to talk about how you're coping, call in at 563-999-3560. If you clicked on one of these links, if you come with one of our listeners that come through Facebook, it's on the first link that I throwed out with the call-in number. But the call-in number is 563-999-3560. And, you know, I just want to put it out there to everybody. There are people out there who love you. There are people out there who wish they could be with the people they love right now, and they can't. But, you know, they might be self-quarantined from them because of what, for being already having the coronavirus, or they are essential workers and they just haven't been able to go home, or you just on the opposite end of the country and just can't go see each other right now. And
hell, a lot of people are self-quarantined in their own homes together.
Right. And, I mean, remember that one of the best things we could do right now is remind those who we love that we love them in any way possible, in form or fashion that you can. Because at the end of the day, and this is so cliche, love is what's going to carry us with. Look out for one another.
I agree with
let's
that.
Care, you know, let's care about one another. Let's make sure that we're checking in on the people that we're healthily checking in on. Just don't be checking in on somebody because you hadn't talked to them in 10 years and you've seen them on Facebook. Yeah, I've been Facebook and never said or liked anything. You've just been nosy. You know, check on folks who don't bring no toxicity into anybody's life at this particular point in time. Just
you mean like
love
the text I got that said, hey, Kadana, how are you doing? I didn't even recognize the number. And I was like, who is this? And when they identified themselves, I was like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And then I said this, y'all. I was like, so how is the wife and children? I didn't
get
a response back. So, you know. Huh?
Yeah, see, then they got quiet.
I
and there's been two of them. Everybody's fine. Great. Now, see, you can have a decent conversation. Everybody's fine. Everybody's great. You know, how's your family doing?
It didn't happen.
But when you get quiet, you know that you were finna try some booze.
Yes.
And, you know,
come on.
And let's be honest. But let's also be honest with you. There are certain folks that are gonna slip in ideas that you're gonna be willing to give them some time because, you know, guess what? This is gonna be fun for a second. Because, you know, I always enjoy talking to this fool anyway. I just didn't want to be with them, but I did enjoy talking to this fool. You know, so you go ahead and you give them the benefit of the doubt, and you go talk to them because you just need something entertaining to do. You know, so I don't talk to a couple of people too. You know that y'all ain't going to do nothing, but y'all can talk some good crap. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, okay, y'all, you're going to be nice. It was nice.
Hey,
I was talking to you. While I'm sitting here talking about this, one of my friends of mine that's on Facebook that I used to work with back in the day had posted on Facebook about people going through people's phones. So y'all know y'all sitting in each other's house with each other now, right? And your
why
phone.
Why people? I never understood that. I've never understood going through somebody's phone. That's a violation.
Stay out of each other's phone. Really, stay out of each other's phone. Because I'm going to tell you, there's an old saying, and I believe in it, and I believe in it more than anything in the world. If you dig in the ground, you're going to get some dirt. Okay? If you're digging in the ground, you're going to get some dirt. Now, this was a good old folks saying. Y'all know it makes sense. So if you're going around looking for something, you will find something because you will make something. You will make something out of something. You will be, if you're going through your phone, you notice, oh, let's say, for instance, I have a female friend, she goes through my phone, and she sees a text message between me and you. Now, me and you will tell each other for the first time, I love you.
Right.
They come through that city, oh, you love Kanaa? Be like, helpful, you know, because that's exactly how I'm going to say it, folks. Don't get mad, this is what I'm going to say. Helpful, you know that's my best friend. You know who I am. Why are you even questioning me? This is going to start an argument from the rip because you're going to try to make something out of nothing.
But here's the thing. I'm going to be like, that person will need to that person would need to go, in my opinion, anyway, because you shouldn't be in people's phones.
Thank you.
You don't pay for it.
And
it just stay out of people's phones.
You go through your girl phone, and you know, let me say this, fella. So I want you to understand this. Like you sliding in somebody's DM, and they ignoring you. Somebody sliding in your girl's DM, and she ignoring them. You going through her phone, and you see somebody slid in her DM. Don't go asking no crazy ass questions, Negro, because you've been doing the same damn shit. Don't ask no questions. You know you were trying to be managed, and you got shut down. If you ain't see her response, or she responded, you know, I got a man, or this, that, and the other, third, or she didn't respond at all, or da da da. Stop, because everybody in your DM ain't there because you asked them to be. Because, Negro, you and a whole bunch of folks DMs and they ain't asked you yet.
Ooh,
get
you
your
sound
life.
Like you need to have a whole relationship. You sound like you need to have a whole relationship conversation with some folks. But you know
okay,
what?
No,
it just runs me to think about one of the negative sides, one of the most negative sides about this, and is the domestic abuse portion of this.
Right.
Of people's lives right now, because there's going to be a lot of women and men who are going to be stuck in unsafe situations. I mean, I don't know if you saw my post about a week ago about having, you know, I was asking for help to find a laptop for a little boy, or a little boy or girl, I don't know for sure, a little person, because mom's boyfriend in a domestic violence situation broke the child's laptop. So he got angry, and sometimes the target is not the mother or the father, it's the child. And, you know, this is something that, I mean, we haven't seen statistics come out, but we know it's probably occurring, that people are getting abused and harmed emotionally during this time.
Right. Because there's some children who are catching hell at home because their parents, you know, are having to try to make sure they get their lessons. And you don't understand what this child been trying to do in school because you negated most of your responsibility raising your child to the school system. So now you got to do it and you mad. You got to feed them.
Yes.
You got to spend time with them. And you just had them. Let's be honest with you. Some of y'all had y'all children so you can get a tax. You can get a tax rebate. That's all they are to y'all. They tax credit. Be honest.
Stop.
I done watched some of y'all. Yes, watch some of y'all. Some of y'all children ain't nothing but a tax credit to you, and you just sat them at home, just like some of y'all spouses is just there just so you can say, I got one. And this is now confronting you to your face. And you realizing that I might not be a very decent human being, but I'm going to, so since I realize this, I'm going to take it out on everybody else because I ain't shit. That means, you know what, I hope there's nobody in my circle that is treating their people and their families like that right now. Because if I find out you, that's the human being that you are, we can't be friends no more.
Scout Smith, I'm telling you, you over here on this Good Palm Sunday talking about some stuff, okay? I'm going to need you to...
Because I'm going to tell you like that. I'm really ready to preach right now. But at 11... But see, that's 11:15. So I was thinking it was 11:00. 11:15.
You got some time.
So, yeah, we got some time. So see, you know, so I might go ahead and go and put on my robes and get into politics. Because some of y'all need a word. Some of y'all truly need a word.
Yeah.
And I know y'all probably. So this cussing bastard's gonna give me a word. Yes, because you don't never turn down the dust. Went to the black team. This is one of the things that my mother and my pastor, yes, I have a pastor. And I tell you, I'm more Christian than some of y'all will ever be. They never cuss, read your Bibles every day. Actually, that makes it worse because you don't cuss and read your Bibles every day. And you, really? Obviously, you're not getting from any of those practices because you're out here being bad human beings, even doing the Rona.
Before, I don't mean to laugh, y'all. God got me over here hollering today.
But you
know,
but see, you know, but see, I have to stay grounded. And the reason I can stay grounded and I this is one of the prayers that I get to the Lord every day, that He continues my mother to be here for many, many more years because I have so many more things I can learn from her. And you know, my mother has a psalm that she reads to me on a regular basis. And it's Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's how it starts out. And she always is telling me when I'm in a situation that I need to go find that secret place and I need to go dwell there. It's like, go be still, go pray, get your mind right. Well, the other night, there was a prayer. Because, you know, most of the psalms can be broken down into a prayer. They're not just songs. They can be prayed. And so the other night, and I told her to send this to me because there was going to be a point in which I said, I'm going to need to read this. And I'm feeling, you know, as the good pastors in the church say, sometimes you feel a word coming on to you and you are compelled to give that word. Now, if you're non-Christians, I don't want y'all to take this in no conform fashion. You take it from a secular standpoint because you can't. Everything in the Bible can be taken from a secular standpoint. And you can do
right.
that. Before you, for those of us who are believers, understand this. Because, see, this was something that was not written for today. It was written a while ago, but it has intent for today. And it's a prayer, for protection from the constant dangers of daily life based on Psalms 91. When I live in the secret place of your presence, O Most High God, who owns the universe, I abide under your protective shadow. Almighty God, who is more than enough, Lord, I will testify about the results of your presence. You are my protection and fortress. You are my God in whom I trust. I know you will save me from all traps, from deadly diseases. You will cover me with your wings. I will find refuge under your protection. Your promises give me peace and security. I will not be afraid of the unseen terror by night, nor of the ever-present dangers of the day, nor of the lurking plague that threaten me, nor the spreading epidemic around me. A thousand may fall my side, and 10,000 may die around me, but these dangers will not near me. I will observe with my eyes, and I will see the punishment of the wicked. I will make you, O Most High God, my protective refuge, and when you are my refuge, O Lord, then no harm can destroy me. The epidemic plague will not touch me, because you will command your angels to guard me in all ways. They will protect me with their hands to keep me from falling. I can trample down the lions and poisonous snakes. I will crush evil threats under my foot. Because I love you, Lord, you will rescue me from danger. Because I know you by name, you will be with me in trouble. I will call upon you for help. You will answer me. You will be with me. You will protect me and my home. You will give me long life and satisfy me with your salvation. Salah. Amen.
I have a question. I love that song. And so with the guidance and the protection under that, how many churches that are meeting in person today do you think are quoting that same psalm right now?
And that's what's going to be my next statement. Because, see, again, you know how I said earlier that a lot of people take religion to be magic.
Right. Yep.
They take it to be some supernatural, something's going to happen. Well, I'm going to explain this to you in the way I would have explained this to my Sunday school class a couple of years ago, because that was a lesson that I gave about a man who was stuck at sea. And he was alone, and he asked God to come save him. And God sent a boat. God sent a helicopter. God sent all kinds of things to this individual to save him, but it was not what he could see. He actually thought that God was going to lift him up and place him on land. God brought you a helicopter. He bought you a boat. He bought a yacht, a warship. Everything came inside of you like a way for God to come save you. Well, God has already put, he protecting us by saying, look, I have placed upon the minds of your leaders to tell you to shelter in place. I put upon the mind of your leaders to give you curfews. I've put it upon the minds of your leaders to give you information to tell you to stay 6 feet apart from one another. Don't gather in groups of 10. Don't gather in groups of 50. Stay in their homes. But yet, you think that I, God, who's already made his move, is just going to come wave his magic wand like I'm Harry Potter, and this is just going to go away. This is not how this works, people. This is not how any of this works.
Well, I know, and you and I both know.
When you understand that religion is
people in church,
you know, you have taken, you are testing God. Oh, let me, I'm finna go there. I feel it. Y'all are testing God. Y'all are testing him, and you finna take this test, and you fixing the fail. Because he's already given guidance to what we ought to be doing. And you decided for the lean upon your own understanding.
You better preach it today.
And you're going to preach anyway. You're going to listen to some man in a closet when God has already given you guidance. You're going to go listen to some man tell you, we're going to have faith and we're going to sit up in hell. And you people in your congregation are falling sick. And you still sitting there saying, oh, just like Psalm 91 says, 1,000 shall fall by my side, and 10,000 will die around me, and you're going to protect me. Yeah, I'm supposed to protect you because you're behind. You're going to be at home. I didn't tell you you're going to stand in the midst of them. I said stay at home. But yet you're going to sit here and you're going to test me, thy Lord, thy God. And that's the Bible has been very clear on this. Every time you see this happen, that somebody want to go try and do something different or think they're going to do what they think God do instead of paying it. God is very literal and very clear. We be taking and twisting the literalness of it all and turning it into something that's very construed and confusing. Because we don't want to believe that we can fail. We want to believe, oh, we can do whatever we want to do, and God is going to come save us. No, that is not how this works. That is not how this works. You just can't go off and just do willy-nilly, and he just come in there and scoop you up and save you. That is not how this works. And some people, as I was telling Kadada earlier, some of you, and I got a lot of friends who are atheists, and they always ask me this question, why do God let bad things happen to good people? Well, what are the things that you see as bad are actually not bad? And these people, like for instance, you got a wonderful, sweet person you've known all your life, and they die. Well, guess what? From a Christian perspective, I'm not dealing with this bull no more. And if I truly believe in the Lord, then I believe that there's life after, and I'm okay. I'm still here. You still here dealing with this mess, and you think that is good? He came and got you, and you mad because this person left you. Really, there's a point of selfishness in that whole statement. Don't you think people need rest? That they need a respite from this crazy? that if we truly understand that this world is as bad as it is, that not being here might be a good thing as long as you let the Lord take you and you don't try to take yourself.
Come on.
But we all look at things in this world from a basis of selfishness. We all do. This is not something that is exclusive to one religion or one ideology or political persuasion. We all do things from a point of selfishness. The reason why we have essential workers out here doing all of this stuff in restaurants, doing curbside and this and that, so you can be okay at home.
Yep.
Because God knows you already are having problems with that. And then you're feeling, I got people who are sitting at home talking about, and I'm going to say this. I would love to see this happen. I would love to see there be a strike right now. The essential workers to do a strike right now, because guess what? We're not getting no damn hazard pay. We out here risking our damn lives. And then we got some of y'all sitting at home turning your nose up to the fact that, I'm glad I ain't got to go out there and go work. But at the same time, complaining that your ass is sitting at home. Why? Because you're selfish.
Yeah, that central worker thing, that central worker, but here's the thing. Back to the economics of it all, right? Because some of it, once again, is not logical. And I understand that people in our government want to assist people during this time. Do you know that on unemployment, most people are making more money than they made at their regular jobs? When all of this stuff ends and people have to go back to work? Because your job's not going to pay you, because a girlfriend of mine has a business and kind of told me how this was all calculating out for her workers. And she said she would rather, from a moral perspective, not open up her small business, because, you know, the small business grants are giving, you know, business owners funding to help give people their wages. But when she figured it all out, the calculation, it was better for her workers to stay on unemployment than come back to work. What are people going to do? Because we still, and I think the number is close to somewhere between 50,000 and over 100,000 job openings now. Why are people going to go get jobs?
When you can make more money.
If they have the time. It's not going to last forever. You have people out here talking about they don't want to pay rent, as if property management companies or landlords don't have bills themselves and are offended by the fact that somebody, I have to pay my rent.
This is the thing. Well, a lot of people out here are operating off not understanding the world around them. You look at your landlord thing because he owns your building or what your house or whatever it is you're living in, you feel that, this person has more than me, so therefore they should be able to sacrifice more than me. In actuality, no, they don't. Because just like you're having to pay them, most of these people don't own these properties outright. They are still paying for them too, so they owe a bill, the rent, or a mortgage on the property that you're living in. And then I can promise you that the people that they are paying owe money to somebody else. I was just talking about this earlier. It was one of the things I wanted to touch on last week that I didn't get a chance to touch on. But in a way, it operates. It would help us to understand this so we can mentally navigate these spaces. Because you're getting upset because you believe somebody is getting over on you or is being an asshole.
Yeah.
Even understand the situation. Now, true enough. This is one of the problems with capitalism as we see. And I explain to people that if you just shut down this system, it will collapse and there'll be so much damn suffering that whoever came after it that caused the collapse to bring about the next system, your ass is going to be able to split just as quick as the motherfuckers that were doing. And see, y'all got me cussing and I definitely preach. See that? Hold on, we got a call.
I wasn't going to say anything how you just preached the word and then started cussing. I wasn't going to say nothing.
I was going to
let my fly on that. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I'm here.
Hello.
It's Sharon J. Here.
Okay.
Hey,
okay. Hey, Sharon.
Hello.
So we're sitting up here. We finishing up before we go into the next segment. But you know, how are you doing right now in your head, Sharon?
I'm fine.
Yes,
I heard you bust over.
Yes, being. Sharon said, "I heard you bust over, Lord."
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Okay.
He needed the word.
He needed the preacher. Yes, he did. I'm gonna ask him to hold on. Okay.
Hold on.
But it's serious. It is serious, and you know, it is something that we do need to have conscious conversation about. Everything needs to be conscious, in conscious conversations. At this time, it's amazing that all those things that we've talked about have now come full circle. As I said yesterday, have come home to roost. Let us be clear.
Yep.
I've been marveling at all of this, all the things that we have lately been speaking to. Of being more conscious online, unplugging, spending more time, focus on you and family and your next level, okay? Paying attention, reconnect to civic. To your civic stewardship. I just did a post where one of my Virginia friends, her daughter is a congresswoman, and she said that of all the things, you know, how neighbors never talk politics or whatever, because we don't have time, right? Nobody ever talks politics. She said she stepped outside and folks are hollering across the road, okay?
Wow.
Hey, what's happening with the CARES Act? You know, people are paying attention. See, this is attention time. Attention. All of those things that we have been trying to get people to do instead of waiting till election day, right? And you get all these calls and say, Who I vote for?
Yep.
I'm like, did you not go to any forum? Did you not hear any candidates speak? Did you not reach out to them? But this gives us the paradigm has shifted, and this gives us a brighter landscape to actually guide people on holding governance accountable. Now they really will hear us. In telling them to call their legislators, to go and visit them, to show up when you can, because there was a time when you could not. Hello?
But for some people, now this is what they're starting to feel like it. They're just starting to understand what it feels like not to have access to anything.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Hold it up for a second. Because I need to give a proper introduction to the next caller that is calling in. Okay?
He got a surprise.
Because right now, getting ready to come on to this show, preparing to do a segment about absentee ballots, is the one and only, my sister from another mister. The one and only from the west side of the ATA, Stacey Hutchins.
What's up, this Southside Shorty over here?
Southside West Side ATA.
I mean, I don't even know what to say after. I think I've heard it all. I mean, this coronavirus has just brought it out in folks.
The only thing missing was the music, Stacey. The only thing missing was the music, right? Your intro.
You know, the universal.
I won't play because I might have something for next week's segment. I might have something. I might have
something. I'm telling you, I already got it. I already got it. Universal Studios theme song. I want. Get ready to post it. I expect to hear it again.
All right, I will get the chopping and screwing. Let's get to it.
Yeah. The porch, y'all. So we got a lot going on. Sharon and I, we were part of a voting summit yesterday, hosted by a lot of national groups who are trying to figure out how we are going to do this in Georgia. And Sharon and I can both tell you that there is resistance. It is kind of baffling. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of resistance, but we don't really have a choice. And it's stunning to see where some of the resistance is coming from. A lot of it is
our own party members.
Yes, yes. You know, they are very resistant. Why? I don't know. You go ask them. That's all I can tell you. It makes no sense now or in the scheme of what we have faced in Georgia. Let me tell everyone real quickly why absentee by mail, which is voting by mail, it's just a different process. Where you absentee by mail here in Georgia, you have to opt into it, which I need for people to sit and recognize is a form of voter suppression itself. So what we have, people are starting
to receive
their ballots.
Let's be very clear. I want you to say that again. What is a form of voter suppression? Not the absentee ballot, but the fact that you have to opt in, right?
That's
the part.
Right.
Okay.
That we are watching voter suppression go on right now, and what we are doing is absolute insanity in trying to appeal to it and to make it work. So that's the biggest piece of insanity of it all, and what is frustrating activists and organizers like myself to no end. We are trying to conform to voter suppression. So with that, we are... because of the time frame, it does not matter whether, you know, they're still up in the air as to whether the election is going to be pushed back to June. That is in the hands of the state legislature. Don't know what they're going to do. It doesn't matter whether it's done in May or in June, because we clearly are not ready for this, and this is going to be a very heavy lift. People are starting to receive their ballots. Saw some chatter on Twitter. You can't miss the envelope. It's got all kinds of color to it, which is a good thing in my opinion. It may look like junk mail, but at least it's not in a white envelope or something where you would miss, right?
So people think it's junk mail. I've seen a lot of people say online that, wait a minute, what is this? Is this junk mail? Which is even more concerning.
Yes, but, you know, at some point it catches your eye, right? So, you know, it catches your eye, open it up. If you see something that says secure the vote, red, white, and blue, blah, 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 that is what you're receiving from the state. No one in my house has received it yet. I'll see what happens Monday. I didn't expect to see one, but, you know, they like to try me over here. So I was waiting to see if I would actually get one. I have not yet received it. Sharon Hill received hers. It looks a little different from what you download from the other form. What stands out to me is that on the new form, you're required to put your voter registration number. You know, most people, well, what the hell is that? Go to MVP, my voter page, mvp.sos.ga.gov. pull your registration before you fill out anything. Make sure you complete it exactly the way you are registered. Whatever your name is showing up there, put it there, because we don't want to see anyone disallowed from having to vote. Make sure that you put the date of May 19th. That's what we know for now. Please make sure you have the date correct. The box, there's a box on both of them that says if you meet the following criteria, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you are elderly, disabled, or you are a member of the armed forces, health services, OSHA, please check that box. That box is important because if we have a runoff, which some races we probably will, you will automatically be sent a ballot. You do not have to request it. What people do not know, if we do go into a runoff, you have to go through this process again, which I need to point out and reiterate is a form of voter suppression. But no one is saying that. We're just saying we got to do this. So we've got these absentee ballots coming out, and this is why they are important now in the age of coronavirus, plus in the long run. This is what absentee ballot by mail does, and we've seen it work to great effect for the Quitman 10 plus 2 who changed the face of the school board by using this method. They know it works. The benefits of absentee ballot by mail is that, A, the obvious, public health safety. With coronavirus, you don't have to expose yourself, nor do we have to expose poll workers to possible contamination and infection, right? So you have that. Two, you don't have to worry about driving people to the polls. This is especially important for rural voters. This is important for those who are disabled. This is very important for the elderly. Now, there's a particular attachment that is held in. Yes. I mean, there's an attachment that some of us have to Election Day. We're going to have to rethink that, you know. I mean, yes, it's a good feeling to go out and vote at the polls, and a lot of the elderly particularly like to do that. I want to go stand in line because, you know, the history of the fight to vote is so ingrained in our DNA. So it is a point of pride and honor to go out and vote. I get that. However, if you believe in that fight, and times, they be a-changing, y'all. Now, we have next-level electronic Jim Crow going on. Those voting machines, those electronic voting machines, are mechanisms of voter suppression. We still have 123,000 black voters out of black precincts who are missing. The state is not trying to find them. Judge Totenberg is not trying to find them. So they are just missing out in cyberspace. Do you really want to do all of that? Take your pride. Go wait online. Just to find out, and, well, you won't find out, that your vote never really counted. So if it really matters and count, and you want your vote to count, we need to rethink how we look at Election Day. Election Day should be, elections should be more like tax season, right? You know, you get your W-2s, you know, the end of January, you have till April 15th to file your taxes. Voting should be along that same concept in this new age, and that you have a longer period to vote, and that Election Day will be the last day to get your ballot in. I need for black people particularly to understand this, right? So you have that issue. It helps increase turnout. Now, although I disagree with the decision and I question why the Secretary of State chose, because they're already mailing out absentee ballots. So why are you mailing out absentee applications when you had the capability, and this is how vote by mail works. Every registered voter gets a ballot. In states who have vote by mail exclusively, we have seen turnout rise at double digits. That is something that concerns everyone, and it particularly concerns the GOP because we heard David Ralston's, Speaker David Ralston's comments about voting by mail would hurt Republican candidates. Yeah, they know. It will help break the wheel. We have seen a lack of GOP governance, and as we can see, not all of it has been competent governance. And their policies actually are harming us. It is time, and it has been frustrating to watch candidates run, some of them good, some of them meh, but even still, you know, it has been frustrating to watch them run the table consistently. And this has happened in Georgia since 2000 when we got those electronic voting machines. Coincidence? Maybe. Georgia used to vote Democratic until 2000. That was when we got those electronic voting machines. So it helps with turnout. The biggest issue for me is that it addresses some of the biggest forms of voter suppression that we have seen and that has been very well documented, some of which I have been featured in. The long lines that we saw in 2018, I need to explain to people, it is not normal for us, particularly black people, and if one more person shows a picture, look at these black people standing out there for 5 hours to vote. That's not normal. That is voter suppression, and no one should be clapped on the back for enduring that. What you should be directing your anger to as to why that happens only to certain people. So voting by absentee gets rid of the long lines because you don't have to stand at a polling precinct. I need for people to understand that. It makes it easier to vote. You can vote in the comfort of your home. You can research the candidates. And there are some websites out there that are excellent. I need people to write these down. Ballotpedia.org. It is probably the Bible of finding information about candidates, where they stand. VoteSmart.org. Those are the two best sites out there that will give you the most information that you can. If you want to follow the money, OnTheIssues.org can make those connections, find out who's actually funding them, because as we know, money does talk. So we have a lot of benefits to this. That it is insane as to why we are not adopting this and why advocates and the Democratic Party is not fully behind. There's also the issue of the purge, and there's not much you can do about that. You know, how we are stuck conforming to a law that is still on the books. Shout out to Representative Bob Trammell, who introduced a bill last year to repeal the bill that sets the conditions that the Secretary of State is following in order to, they're using this as justification for purging it. And they're absolutely right. They're using what is there. The problem is we have seen how it's been used, and we need to have it repealed because it is in direct violation of the National Voter Registration Act, aka Motor Voter. So, but it is also highly dependent on the integrity of our election officials. We don't have that, and we know now, you know, Ralston peaked the whole card, right? We know that they are afraid, and we are hearing about, you know, election fraud, possible election fraud. I have one word, receipts. We keep hearing this. No one can produce receipts, and that has been one of the primary criticisms that I've heard about, it's going to lead to ballot stuffing, this, that, and the third. Well, you passed controls in HB 316 last year that prevents certain people from what they call ballot harvesting, something that we haven't seen much or heard about, but apparently happens. Maybe Republicans know something we don't because they've been doing it. But there's no one who can, they throw this out, but they can't prove it. Ralston said in an interview that heavy reliance on voting by mail will be extremely devastating to Republicans and conservatives. Oh, well. It is my right to vote. The will of the people needs to be heard. So if you get your application, please fill it out. Return it as soon as possible. Make a copy of it. Make a note of when you sent it back, and you can track them. They're supposedly Sharon. I'm not. Is Sharon still on the line?
I'm here.
Yeah, but you know, just so y'all know, y'all are now going over to recorded time. Y'all are no longer live.
Oh, well.
Okay, but is this recorded?
Yeah, go ahead. People can hear this after the show. But you got maybe about 5 minutes of that left.
Okay.
So this is the after party.
This is the after party. Make them pay for it. So is the thing. I'm not sure if there are numbers on the ballots to track them.
No. Okay. So the whole thing is that you track it from my voter page. That's why it's so important for us to make this connectivity with the family so that and friends. Let's be clear, because, you know, some people are just, you know, a family of one. So, hello. let's be real clear. That you connect and you make sure that the information is in there. Scout, I'm posting in, while Stacy was covering everything, I'm posting in on your Facebook page. I put in the graphic of what it looks like when you're not found on my voter page. This is critical for the deadlines that are coming up.
Right.
We have a very short window. And so what we're doing, as we did with the training yesterday, is to let people know April 20th is the last day to register. So before we even track a ballot, you got to make sure that you can receive one. And so right now, with the ballot applications being sent out, if you do not receive an absentee ballot application by next Friday, you need to immediately check. Well, you need to check it now. but even if you're found now, if you don't receive one by next Friday, you need to check my voter status, my voter page for your status. If you are not found, you need to register. The last day to register is April 20th. That means we'll only have 10 days to get everyone registered. First things first. I have the graphic of what it looks like when you're not found, and I was really posting that if you have not received it, to register. But this is key. When you complete the voter registration form, remember, there is no online registration. You have to print your voter registration form, the absentee ballot application form. You have to physically sign both of those forms. Okay?
Right.
The difference is one can be mailed in. One can be mailed in, the voter registration form, but the absentee ballot application can be in Georgia, faxed or email or taken in to your county. Here in Cobb County, we can actually take a picture and email it. Really want people to check.
This is my question, and you can't track anything. for example, if you track a package that you're receiving from through UPS, you have a tracking number. You can't track anything without an identifier. Now,
no,
please balance
the identifier. Listen, Stacey, my voter page, when you enter your information, from that point, everything is your information.
Right,
everything,
but I'm saying when they send the ballots out, right, there's no way to track it through the postal system if it does not have an identifier. So
no,
if they are mailing out these, yes,
but,
you have
but,
to have something on your ballot when you get them from the county, when you, and the old ones, there was an identifying number that mapped. It was a number that was assigned to that ballot that was uniquely your ballot. So if these ballots are going out without a number, how can the state track them? This is what I'm questioning.
Okay, so this is what we do with the question. First, when they are sent out, that is when you go back to my voter page because that's where you can track it. If you do not see it, we have gotten away, you all, from making the Board of Elections and the Secretary of State do their job.
All they can tell you is that it was mailed out. They can't tell you where it is without having a unique identifier to track it through the postal system.
But you just tell them you haven't received it, and they're supposed to work on that as long as you're in contact with them. That's what I'm saying is that we have to change how we deal with them and make and get that ballot, period.
I understand it. So, okay, we're going to let that go. We're going to find out, but let's find out, Stacey, for next week.
How about that?
Yeah.
Let's find
out.
Now,
that's what I'm looking at right now.
Okay. I got more live.
All right.
All right,
thanks
everybody.
For having me back. Good to talk to everyone. Be safe.
Thank
be
you,
well.
Really.
And, you know, y'all keep your hands about you because that Rona got folks twisted.
Yeah, this is down 7:30 and we're out. Peace.
Peace.